On July 4th, 1863, General Lee began his retreat from Gettysburg, and Vicksburg surrendered to General Grant, with thousands of Union and Confederate casualties from the intense fighting. This was the turning point in the Civil War, one that General Lee noted as a sad day, and Vicksburg would end up not celebrating July 4th for 81 years. Abraham Lincoln had been invited by the National Cemetery Consecration Committee to set apart the grounds of Gettysburg for their sacred use by a few appropriate remarks. He rode the train from Washington on November 18th. He shared that he felt weak and dizzy, with John Nicolay observing that his face during the speech had a ghastly color, and that he was sad, mournful, almost haggard. Obviously, the Civil War was taking a toll on President Lincoln. Civil War, it's a term that we've heard before, and it actually means a war between opposing groups of citizens within the same country. The first Civil War was over slavery and economics for our still fledgling country. Over 4 years, 237 named battles were fought with 700,000 casualties. The economic costs and property damage would take literally decades to repair. And in some ways, we're still repairing. The memories, cemeteries, and sacrifice are still before us some 255 years later. President Lincoln was convinced that this was a fight worth fighting for. The battle for freedom exposed divisions not only between North and South, but within families, political parties, and humanity. And it would be ultimately a battle for which Lincoln would give his life. And this is one of the reasons why we in the church to this present day pray for those who are in authority in our country. There is so much at stake for us, our children, our grandchildren, and our future. We intercede for God's divine intervention and influence in the life of our country, and for that matter, other nations, that ultimately there might be peace and God's will that will prevail. In 1 Timothy 2:2, the Apostle Paul encouraged the early church to pray for kings and those who are in authority that we might live peaceable and holy lives. It's very important that we understand that when Paul wrote this direction to the early church, that he was writing it during the persecution of Nero. You might want to study something about Nero, one of the leaders of that day of the Roman Empire, one of the most corrupt and evil leaders anybody could ever be under. He was busy killing Christians in the arena, crucifying them upside down. And so you just need to realize that in that context, Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write these words, to pray for those in authority over you, including in the day that would have been Nero. And so what we see is that this injunction for the church to be praying for those in authority over them isn't based on the leadership and how you feel about it. It isn't based upon the person or persons in office and how they're treating you. If that was the case, Paul would have never, ever written this verse. In fact, I imagine as the Holy Spirit was coming upon him in that moment and all that was going on with Nero in the day, he said, I really don't want to write this one down. Right? I wouldn't have wanted to write it down. But you see, it wasn't about Paul. It was about the influence of the Holy Spirit on his life, and God's call in his life to communicate the word of God and the direction of God. And the direction of God in that moment and to this day is to pray for those who are in authority over us and over the nations of the world. You also can look at Jeremiah 29, where the prophet, again, under the anointing and leading of Almighty God, directed the prophet to speak to the nation of Israel. And he said to them, as they were going into exile, as they had been conquered by foreign armies because of their own sin, and under God's judgment, God spoke to them, pray for the nation to which you're going into exile, because if they prosper, you will prosper. You hear that? You see, it would be very normal for the Israelites to hate the nation that had just burned their houses down, that had probably killed members of their family and their friends, and to try to work some kind of revenge against them in resistance and rebellion. But God said to them very clearly, do not do that. He said, pray for the prospering and peace of the nation to which you're going into exile. The exact opposite of what you're inclined in your heart to do. Because God said, God had the big picture. God always has the big picture. God said, if they prosper, you will prosper. And that's exactly how it works out. And so you see, I've actually had people come to me with some of the intercessions we have for our leaders at different points in my ministry throughout my 36 years of priesthood and ask me not to pray for certain leaders. And let me just say this to you. I've prayed for all of them. Without going into detail, some of them I think have been great. Some of them have been horrible. And you know what? I can almost guarantee that you will agree with me on some of that, and some of you will completely disagree with me. Welcome to my world. I'm okay with that. I'm good with that. But the point is, it isn't about what you feel and about what I feel. It's about honoring the Lord God Almighty. It's about honoring God's call in our life and to be, imagine that, in the words of the prophet, a light to the nations. To be vessels of ultimately spiritual change and incredible change that ultimately God, only God can bring about. But we need to be a force for his change in our country and in this world right now. Will things always go the way we want them to with our leadership? I can guarantee you, absolutely not. And if you were the leader, it wouldn't go the way everybody else would want it to either. You know, again, if you're in leadership, there's always going to be somebody you please and you displease. It's just the nature of it. But you need to pray for those who are in authority. Because as we intercede, we pray for God's divine intervention and influence in all matters. So I ask you a question in this moment. Are we not in a type of a civil war even within our own country? Opposing groups of citizens of the same country fighting to see whose vision of the United States will win. Now, some of you have been alive longer than I have. And I know we've all been through these different debates over the years and seen different things. I mean, we've certainly as a country have been through our ups and downs, including a civil war in the 1800s. And I don't know about you, but it seems to me the tone is different now over the past few years, especially the past decade. And the divisions are growing deeper and stronger. And the question I put before us in this moment is, how far will this battle go? To what point will it go, and to what end will it come? And not only for us, but especially for our children, and for our children's children, and for the future of this nation. So in closing, my question to you and me is, as I reflect on this time together, at the beginning of this year, what would Lincoln say to us in this moment? What would one of our great presidents share with us who gave his life literally on this battlefield of civil war? What could he share with us in 10 sentences, 276 words, in a little under 2 minutes that could give us a sense of direction in the time to come? 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we're engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We're met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that the nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but I can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain. That this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom. And that government of the people, by the people, and for the people, shall not perish from the earth. So help us, God. Amen.